Welcome to the preaching ministry of Nest Baptist, where we seek to equip people to love God and love others. Whether you are a longtime follower of Jesus or are exploring what faith in Him might look like, we are glad you're here. It is our prayer that by listening to this message, you may better understand who God is, what He has done for you, and what that means for your life. May all of this lead to the worship of God and be for His glory.
Leading us together in our pastoral prayer this morning. This morning we will be praying for OVC. Our God and Heavenly Father, as believers gathered together at Ness, we collectively bring the ministry of OVC before you this morning. Our desire would be for OVC to be a light among the Osborne Village community in this dark and confused world. OVC would seek to offer the entire truth, though not always comfortable to hear, as it pierces through the idea that we are good and it points us to Christ ultimately. That Osborne Village Church would be filled with those who live out the gospel in private and public and are a beacon of genuine love in our city. We pray that you would continue to open hearts to the gospel as people seek for peace in their tumultuous lives, as they seek truth in a world that claims truth cannot be absolute. Yet we know from your word that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That you would use OVC to go out and share the good news that he has been entrusted to them. We pray for Pastor Brennan and his family as he leads OVC, that he would be strengthened and encouraged amidst diversity and discouragement, that his joy would be overflowing in the many wonderful encounters and relationships that have been formed in the recent years, months, and weeks, that he would be given wisdom in ministering to your people and guiding them to you, in recognizing and raising up godly leadership within OVC to direct your church. We pray that the challenges brought on by COVID, that you would give Brennan wisdom in navigating those challenges. We also would pray for unity and faith for OVC as they seek to secure a more permanent accommodation for meeting together within the community. This can be a difficult and discouraging event at times with many unique hurdles along the way. But for you, nothing is impossible. Your plans are better than ours. We pray our faith would be strengthened in our reliance upon you as you direct the ministry of OVC. We commit Brennan to your care and pray that he would know and enjoy the blessing from you in his life. We commit OVC to you and pray that they would be light and salt in the Osborne Village community. Your glory. Amen. This morning, we'll be reading Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. He is at Ness and online. As Jeremy said, it's my first time preaching English, so I'm a bit nervous, or maybe not too much. I just maybe went to the bathroom maybe 10 times this morning, but I feel good now. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, let's start here in Matthew 1, starting on verse 18. Do you like novels or soap operas? I do. Most Brazilians love soap operas. It's a very common thing in Brazil. They have these soap operas especially. Oh, sorry. Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. I'm not nervous. So I love soap operas as well, like all my Brazilian friends. Soap operas, they have like the power to change people's mind. It's just incredible. And I took a list from the internet of some Canadian soap operas. Maybe you know some of them. I saw, for example, Degrassi. And there is like so many kinds of Degrassi. Degrassi High, Degrassi Next Class, Degrassi Next Generation, but looks like a very common soap opera here. Street Legal, Riverdale, Coronation Street. Oh, I saw on TV one day this Coronation Street. It's so weird. So, sorry. And Train 48 and Edmond. What soap opera on TVs or novels, on books, have in common is the realism. The ability to connect your audience with the daily lives of the characters in the story. I hope you enjoy soap operas and novels just because the Bible contains so many of them. Let's read and watch one of these soap operas from the Bible. About our passage. Yeah, just let me test here. Yeah, it's working. First, let's take a look in our passage. Before we go through our passage this morning, let's take a look at some relevant facts about the Gospel of Matthew. These facts will help us to understand some events going on this passage. In the Gospel of Luke, he tells about the angel visiting Joseph instead of Mary. So this is weird. All the times when we hear something about Christmas, we can hear people talking about Mary, but not about Joseph. Luke tells us so many details about Jesus' birth, while Matthew didn't give us any detail. These Gospels aren't divergent. Rather, they are complementary. There's a complementation between these two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. Second, Matthew tells us a story from Joseph's perspective, as Jeremy said, while Luke tells a story from Mary's perspective. That's the main difference between them. Why is this information so important to us now? Let's take a look on the third fact. How do you send a message to your wife, for example, in the morning? Or your wife, your husband, or your close friend? Hey, honey. Morning, my love. Or maybe for man's, hey, bro, what's up, man? And how do you send a letter when you need to send a letter to a judge? Can you say, hey, bro? Definitely not. We write things according to our audience. That's what Matthew does here in this letter. His audience was the Jews. That's why he started the chapter with a genealogy, as we saw last week with Jeremy. Genealogy was very important to Jewish people. He's working towards proving that Jesus came from a Jewish family through Joseph, the son of David. That's why people focus on Joseph's life. This was the only way to get this audience attention. So that's why Matthew start talking about Joseph and on Mary on his gospel. So right now, let's see about our passage, Matthew versus Luke, and the audience. And our big idea this morning is God's providence is clearly present at the king's advent throughout Joseph's story. So this is our main idea. When you leave this room today, you have to have this in mind. You have to go home thinking about this. Oh, this story, this Joseph's story here in Matthew, this story tells about God's providence. This is the most important part of our time here this morning. First of all, let us define what providence is. The word providence, as you can see there, is built from the word provide, which has two parts. Pro, from Latin, forward or on behalf of, and vide, Latin, to see. A simple definition of this verb provide is to supply what is needed. But the noun providence means he is seeing and acting with a purpose. So the meaning between them, it's a little bit different. Let's explore one example, for example, here. Do you remember, for example, the story of Abraham going up to the mountain to sacrifice his only son, Isaac? Genesis says, before they went up the mountain, Isaac said to his father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. In a very simple comment here, Abraham said to Isaac, God will not only provide, that's the word that the Bible uses in some versions, but God will see this is the right word, the best word behind this passage. God will see for himself the lamb. God's providence means that he never sees something without acting using his hands. He's not a passive participant in this world. Rather, God makes interventions in this world. He has not only created this universe, but he upholds it and he governs it. We are going now to see three different ways in which God's providence is present here in this passage this morning. The first way is providence related to Joseph and Mary. The verse 18 says, Mary was pleaded, betrothed to be married to Joseph. Look, this is a love story, like so many others we know. Taking into consideration that Jewish culture, Mary was probably between 12 and 14 at that time. So she was pretty young, 12 to 14 probably. And Joseph probably was between 18 and 20. So they were a very young couple in this story. Working as a carpenter, he probably saved some money to finally marry Mary. At that time, the engagement was so much serious than our modern engagement. The pledge or engagement was like a contract between them. After signing the marriage contract, they cannot go back. So can you imagine, for example, for Cale, Cale just got married, and Jeremy just says to Cale, oh, You cannot go back now. After you say to the church, you cannot go back. That's what happens in that time. It was different than today. They were officially married, just waiting, what? The wedding. So they were married, but waiting the wedding. Even nowadays, you still have some cultures with that kind of marriage. They get married first, and they wait a few months until they finish the marriage process. They were very happy, dreaming to live together after the wedding, like so many couples. But then, verse 18 continues. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Look, God's providence came through their lives and makes a big mess right now. We don't have so much details about how Joseph found out about this, but can you imagine the scene? Joseph was at home, and Mary came, and she was looking at her, and, oh, I can see maybe a belly growing, and growing, and growing, and I don't know, it's weird. Or maybe one day, Mary told Joseph, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, what? I'm pregnant. I cannot hear you. I'm pregnant. Oh, how is that? How is that possible? Pregnant. We are married, but you cannot be married. It's so weird. That moment, Joseph probably was very devastated, disoriented, and feeling very lost. Let us continue reading the verse 19 to see now Joseph's reaction on this. Because he was a righteous man and did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. A real family tragedy came over to them. When the Bible says he was the righteous or just man, that means that he followed the Jewish law carefully and very well. He was very worried about to follow all the laws. No, I want to do everything in the right way. He is my princess. I got the best girl in this world, and I have to do everything right. His honey, his love, his princess is now pregnant. And not from him. That's the question, right? That's the important question here, not from him. And saying that she's pregnant from the Holy Spirit. How could he believe that? Can you imagine nowadays? You're not really married. You didn't have anything in your engagement. And your fiancé just came to you and say, oh, I'm pregnant. So that's why this is a very interesting soap opera or novel. Because this is not like a common thing. So Joseph was faced with a dilemma right now. Hand over Mary to be punished. At that time, it was common for adultery. Or stay with her. But he was a very godly man, as we saw in the passage. Joseph reminds us that justice is not merely a matter of punishment and shame, but also a matter of mercy. He would do everything in his power to minimize her shame. But God's providence appears again. Verse 20 says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit," the angel says. The Bible says that Joseph slept. My question is, how can he sleep during this chaos? I cannot imagine this kind of problems, and you just, let go sleep right now. But that's what Joseph did. The angel says, start saying, "Joseph, son of David." The angel reminded him who he is. Saying this, the angel reminds him he has a long family story. The angel reminds him that the Messiah must come from his family, because he didn't remember about that. But the angel reminds him. Can you see now the great providence of God here? Can you see the greatest intervention God has ever made in history here, right now? God now became flesh. God came to a woman's womb to save his people. God intervenes in Joseph's story and make him a father. But the question is, why? Because the Messiah must be born only in that family. There's no other families where the Messiah could be born. The Messiah must be born in that family. That's why Joseph. Is that wonderful and scary at the same time? For me, it is. Are you like me, or maybe like Joseph? In my case, I love to make sure, like Joseph, I like to make sure I follow all the steps and I have control over everything in my life. Money, I want to make sure I have control over money in my life. Health, family, everything is always under my control. But then, God comes, and with his pointer, he makes everything in our lives, like my life, like Joseph's life. And we ask for the Lord, "Oh Lord, why are you moving things out of the way?" Who said they were in the right place? Why we think these things was in the right place before? The Lord set our lives, and he wants because we belong to him. Do you know why God used his pointer to mix everything in your life? Because you belong to him. That's the reason. That's why the Lord used Joseph, because Joseph belonged to him. Let us move to the second point now. Providence in fulfilling the promise. Joseph's drama didn't finish yet. We have more story. Verse 21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." In the Jewish culture, usually the father was the one who chose the baby's name. Joseph, unfortunately, could not even have the right to name his son. His son already has a name. The angel says, "Jesus, give the name of Jesus." The angel reminds Joseph that he has no control over the pregnancy, over his son's name. and over his own life. He doesn't have control over anything. His son would come to bring salvation to his people, and this people includes Joseph, which was incapable to save himself from their sins. This is not a wonderful story? Could you imagine your children? They become a doctor, and save your life from disease in the future? Can you imagine how wonderful is this? That's what the angel says to Joseph. Your child will heal your illness called sin. Verse 21 says now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Can you see God's providence here? Again, in verse 21, his intervention in this world, fulfilling a promise made a couple of thousand years ago, long time ago, he made a promise. And now, God is fulfilling his promise. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, more than 300 prophecies were recorded to tell about his coming, his life, and his journey here in the earth. His journey to the cross and his power over resurrection. And now, all the prophecies about Jesus were fulfilled. Verse 22 says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. He had not come into this world as a normal child, Jesus, but through God's intervention in this world. Joseph didn't believe Mary at the first, but who in their right mind would? Virginal conception, or virginal birth, popularly. Virgin birth teaches that Jesus was born from apart from the normal process of procreation, but was supernaturally conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and born of her. Important thing now, without sin. Jesus born without sin. That's why he was conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit, because he needs to born without sin. You heard right, without sin. Nowadays, even Christians, adherents of liberal theology, sorry if you are hearing this, but we argue against this. However, the virgin birth, it's not a take or leave it matter. The issue on this touches if we believe in God's supernatural intervention in this world or not. Do you believe? The virgin birth, it's important because it shows us that our Redeemer is fully man, and at the same time, it's fully God and without sin. Also shows God's initiative in salvation, because salvation for everyone is a gift. Lastly, verse 23b says, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The message in the word Emmanuel was so important that Matthew translated it. Matthew says, they will call him Emmanuel. And Matthew explains what this word means, saying, God with us. Because he needs to make sure his audience is understanding what he is saying. God is with someone or people means that God is guiding us. God is helping us to fulfill our calling. Are you afraid of the problems of this world? Maybe you have problems with COVID. I know so many people nowadays, they are very concerned about COVID. Are you worried, afraid about health, about money, about work, about your children? Let me tell you something. You don't live on an out-of-control boat. Everything God does has a purpose because He sees and acts in everything. If you are a believer, God Emmanuel is with you right now, inside you. Not only beside you, but inside you through the Holy Spirit, guiding you and helping you to believe and act according to your calling. But if you are not a believer, don't waste your time trying to get control of the boat. Instead, give to Him control of your life. Give to Him and find peace. If you call Him, God will be with you as well. Let us go to our third and last point. Providence and godly submission of Joseph. Joseph just realizes that everything going around him was part of a divine providence. Verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he didn't what the angel, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. What happened? What happens here? It's just amazing. How old was Joseph probably? I told you guys. Do you remember? Between 18 and 20. He was pretty young. But what we can see here, the ability to obey God doesn't depend on your age. You can be like my daughter, 6 years old, and obey God. When He says, when you look at the Bible and you know what you have to do, you just obey Him. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph trusted in God's plan enough to obey Him right away. Because the verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. He just woke up and, yeah, go to do what I have to do. Joseph understood that he was part of a God providence, God's intervention in this world, and he was part of it. Let's observe now some Joseph actions. First, Joseph took Mary home as wife. So the audience, the obedience, cost him his reputation. Do you know why? Because probably the outsiders, the other Jews, they would assume that he had gotten Mary pregnant before the wedding. So it was a reason for shame for him. But even knowing that his reputation will be bad now, he is okay with that. Because I'm following what I have to do, what God asked me to do. Obey God can cost you something as well. Not only for Joseph, but can cost something for me, can cost something for you. Could be friends, could be family, could be money, could be success. So you can lose so many things when you decide to obey God. Second action, Joseph's actions. action. Joseph had no union with her. Obey God required Joseph self-control, practicing sexual restraint. We saw here, he took Mary as wife, and he did not touch her. Third action, Joseph gave him the name of Jesus. You can look at the passage here. It says, after the dot, Matthew says, and he gave, it's almost saying, oh, before I forget, he gave him the name of Jesus, because this is an important part. Matthew didn't need to mention this again, remind us again, oh, he did the name of Jesus. But Matthew tried to put focus on this. Oh, no. And he did the right thing. He gave the baby the name of Jesus. Matthew is a very good soap opera author, or maybe novelist. Now, the last question is, God's plan or mine? That's the main question here when we look at the Joseph story. I started planning to come to Canada in 2016, 5 years ago. I was expecting to arrive here maybe in 2017, 1 year later. The chances of not working were much bigger. I had a house to sell in Brazil, and Brazil was in a crisis. And no English. I was not allowed to really speak in English at that time. And I had to get a visa approval and a few more obstacles. But God performed several miracles in my life, my family's life, and in July 2019, 3 years after, I was here in Winnipeg to start my English studies. In my head, my plan was working very well, despite the problems. But here, my problems became much bigger than I could have imagined just when I arrived here. Here, God rumbled me and brought me to my knees every day and several times a day. Finally, I understood. I came here with my family, not because of me or because of my wife or because of my kids, but because of him. He had plans for me. He had plans for me than I ever could imagine. I'm here preaching now, and it's because of God's plan. That was not my plan. That's God's plan. That's not Jeremy's plan. It's God's plan. In God's plan, he brought me here so that even with my weakness, I can be blessing and fulfill his calling in my life. How about you? Do you trust God's plan or yours? Take a moment. Think about this. Let's reveal here our big idea. God's providence is clearly present at the king's advent throughout Joseph's story. Can you see the providence of God on Joseph's story? How? Providence related to Joseph and Mary, and after that, providence in fulfilling the promise. And the last one, providence and the godly submission of Joseph. Now some personal applications. Has the Lord messed up your life? If you belong to Him, there has never been a mess. At the right time, through His providence, everything will be in place. Second, is it your world upside down? Don't be worried. Don't be worried. Be happy. Do you know the song? But the song just says, don't worry, be happy. But there's no reason why. Just because of life. But if you belong to Him, you have a reason to say that. Don't worry, be happy. Why? Because the Lord is with you. He born to stay with you, helping and guiding you through His providence. And third, do you trust God's plan or yours? Jesus was born on Christmas as part of a plan to save you and me that belong to Him. He was born for you and for me to bring salvation and hope to all those who trust in His providence. The birth of Jesus is the greatest proof of God's providence for me and for you. I'm going to borrow Jeremy's word. He emailed me this week, and I just love one word that Jeremy used with me. Can you see how magnificent God's providence is? This is the word, magnificent. Can you see how magnificent the providence of God is? Let us pray. Lord, we are small and weak, but we are still part of your plans. Help us to see how magnificent your providence is. Guide us on how we can share this powerful message that you send your Son to become a man like us to offer salvation to all those who believe in Him. Help us in our blindness. We want to give you control of our lives. Help us, Lord. Thanks for your providence, not only in this world, but especially in our lives, bringing salvation to us through your Son, Jesus, the Messiah. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in to the preaching ministry of Nest Baptist, where we seek to equip people to love God and love others. If you would like more information about what we do and why we do it, please check out our website at nestbaptist.com, where you will find links to all of our ministries, weekly updates, contact information for our staff, and a button to donate. Your donations go to making resources like this possible and helps us in many other ways in reaching our surrounding community with the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.